Hello. This podcast is just intended to give exam taking advice, exam taking tips, remind you of things we've talked about before, and it's certainly things that I have written on the little sheets, cover sheets for our quizzes. So it's just an effort to put things all together in one place. Some of the things pertain to this particular midterm, and some things are just advice in general on taking any exams, and in particular my exams. My exams are known for being very fact-intensive, long. Some people don't complete them. The people who don't finish them are the ones who don't take my advice and go off and wander around. I'm looking for you to be very targeted, very focused, and very specific in my exams. I don't look for little history essays on the background of torts. This is all important. There are things we've talked about you have to know, but in the exam world, I want you to focus in very much on the issues that are presented. I expect you to use your judgment to identify the important issues and target them in your analysis. There's tons and tons of material in torts. You're getting this idea now about how much there is. You can't waste your time. I'm looking for you to be able to clearly identify the important issues, state your rules, and analyze the issues, come up with some conclusion. And it doesn't have to be this is what you think is going to happen. I don't want the word "you think." By the facts given, what's the most likely resolution of the issue? Not what you emotionally believe or think. It's you're analyzing, and you're the most likely resolution. And if it's a gray area, tell me it's a gray area. This midterm is going to be 1 hour. It has 4 questions in it. One big fact situation and 4 questions that relate to that. So it's very similar to what we've done before. You had a quiz of 10 minutes and you had a quiz of 20 minutes, and now you have a midterm of an hour. But no matter what the length of the exam, you should spend at least a third of the time reading, thinking, and outlining before you start writing. You have to think through, for each one of the 4 little questions, you have to know where you want to end up before you start your writing. Otherwise, you start writing and writing, and then all of a sudden, midway through, you think, oh, this isn't right, I'm going in the wrong direction, and then you have to start all over again. That's what you can't do. That wastes your time. So, if you spend, if you've got 20 minutes just thinking and reading and outlining, you'll be able to get to the questions and answer them very, very quickly. So the people, there's always these comments, oh, nobody finishes your exam. Plenty of people finish my exams. The A people finish my exams. So the other people are just wandering around throwing in words and phrases. I'm looking for a very tight organization. Obviously, all we've talked about is negligence. That's all I want you to talk about. Nonetheless, I guarantee there will be many, many people who just can't control themselves and start going in on other things that we haven't discussed. So, don't do it. You're going to waste your time. You're not going to get any extra points. You're not going to. I'm looking for a very, as I keep saying, a focused, targeted discussion. So don't waste your time on things we haven't read or talked about. We may, on Monday, I'm recording this on Thursday, we may on Monday's class finish negligence and go into affirmative defenses, but they're not on this exam. Don't talk about them. We've talked about, you know, what we are in the, you know, in this exam's going to be on negligence. That's not a big, you know, hidden thing. That's all we've talked about. So there's elements of negligence. Organize your exam around the elements. Don't oversimplify. Don't latch on to the easiest answer that corresponds to some similar fact situation, to some case that we've read, and then try to get it out of the way. These are tricky things. They don't have any easy resolution. Spend your time on the tricky issues. Acknowledge the ambiguities. Acknowledge the trickiness. I'm not trying to trick you, but these are hard things. So, when I say no tricks, I mean it, but I don't mean that it's easy. There are things that you have to, that are going to be hard issues, and you have to confront them. If you don't know how something should be resolved, don't just ignore it and try to think it'll go away. Confront the difficulties. Your answer has to communicate what you know. Explain your thought process. Explain your conclusions. Explain your statements. The most important part of your answer is the analysis. I don't know how you reached a conclusion or a statement or your ultimate decision if you don't explain it. The analysis is most important. I always say I don't care what your conclusion is, really, unless it's so ridiculous. But what I'm looking for is to understand how you reached it. Identify the issue, said it before, what rule applies to that issue, and then apply the facts that are given to the rule. And apply them just means that's your analysis in order to reach your conclusion. So don't just repeat the facts. Use them as in your analysis. So if you're saying you want to say the rule of emotional distress, you know, our rule is that, it follows the Dillon v. Legge, four factors, but of course in New York has a much more restrictive zone of danger test. Under all of these tests, the facts given to us, and then tell me what facts apply to that rule, analyze the rule according to the facts, come to your conclusion. So don't just repeat the facts in isolation, but employ them in your analysis. People always ask about case and case names. I don't care. You can do a perfectly good answer without using a case, but some of the cases, if you're using a test from a case, say Dillon, it helps me to know where you're getting that test. Polemus, Wagon Mount, those are all, fairly, we've talked about the test in Polemus, the test in Wagon Mount. So you can use those as just a way to tell me where you're getting this. Most of the cases that we've read are not famous cases. They're not important cases. They're good illustrations. I mean, they're important to illustrate. You know, maybe they bring together a whole body of law. But case names, case sites, I don't care about them particularly. But you need to know rules, certainly. And sometimes it helps me about where you got your rules. So you can write a very good answer without employing a case name, but sometimes it's a good shortcut, and it identifies where you're getting a rule. Regarding the IRAC, I don't like people. I want you to use it as not as an outline, but employ it. You know, write complete sentences, write full sentences. I don't like this little outline-y kind of way. So you know, just say the issue here is this, and go into that. You don't have to point it out. You know, tell me what the problem is. Don't say the issue is and make it a big broad thing. There's going to be problems all the time presented by the facts, and you need to point out to me that you recognize those. I always see students want to, what I call fighting the facts, making up facts, saying, oh, we need to know this, we need to know more. You don't. This is what you've got. Don't look for tricky things in there. You know, the facts are as given to you. Those are the things you have to work with. Use the facts that are given to you, and don't make up imaginary ones or think that there's not enough. You have to use what's been given to you. Use your common sense. There's a lot of facts. It's you know, the questions are designed to find out what you know, not designed to make things even more difficult by going off in other directions that really aren't pointed to you. Don't make up parties. Don't make up facts. Concentrate on what's been given to you. There's four questions. Deal with those. Don't, you know, you may think it's even more interesting, but don't go off in other directions. If there are a variety of rules, and I don't tell you which ones to follow, use them both. Tell me the majority, but also analyze for other sets of rules. Emotional distress is a good example. Dylan test, but then we also have the New York zone of danger test. If I don't tell you which one to follow, talk about both of them. Leave your sense of humor at home. I know in class we sort of sometimes have, you know, little jokey things, but this is serious. You know, repeating jokes from class, it just gets annoying after a while. It's not professional, and your answer should be written in a professional way. Take it seriously. Don't use slang. That gives a very bad impression. Don't use colloquial language. Treat it seriously and treat it professionally. I expect that you come up with an organized, professional answer at the end of the period. You'll be rushed. You'll be very rushed. Don't give me a little, you know, the little canned introduction is a waste of time. Don't give me the little introductory sentence. In the cause of action for negligence, you need to breach proximate cause in fact. Yeah, that's true, but get right into it. Get to the point quickly. Don't give me any of these little. People always come in with sort of a little canned statement. It's not a help. It's waste your time. Don't waste time. There's plenty for you to be spending your time on, and that's called analysis. So canned little introductions are not helpful. Get to the point. You need to use your judgment and your good common sense in order to quickly identify the problem issues and then resolve them. Tell me identify the problem issues. Tell me what rules you're following. What's the, you know, how the facts can go in one direction or the other. It's going to be ambiguous. There's no easy resolution. But tell me how, given the facts, you have to come to some, you know, some resolution. If it's a difficult one, you know, don't just say, oh, it's, you know, this is a problem for the jury to decide. Are there enough facts to send it to the jury if it's a question of fact? Question of law, how would the court resolve it given the facts at your hand? Okay, so good luck. We got another class to go. I hope this has been helpful. And again, good luck on the on our little test on Wednesday.